Now, this is where we've got an advantage over all the iPad and iPhone users. When the pastor uses three different texts, you can put your finger, you've got more than three fingers, you can put your finger in three different places. So, for all of you iPhone and iPad users, I'm really sorry that you're so discriminated right now. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, put your finger there. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, put your finger there. And Romans 8, 18, put your finger there. And for all the iPhone and iPad users, I just feel sorry for you. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Let me hear those pages turning. You should have your finger there, but just leave it for the iPhone and iPad users. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Everyone say, but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Everybody say temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Romans 8, 18. Paul says this. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings... You know, my mum always told me not to say reckon. I reckon this, I reckon that. She says, reckon... You shouldn't say reckon. That's not good English. But Paul said it, mum. He said he reckons. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Read it together. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Heavenly Father, we ask you to move in our midst tonight. Lord God, give us a little taste of heaven, Lord God. Tonight, Lord Jesus, we want to hear from you. Stir our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody say in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Find someone near you and say, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and 18, he says, for I think and I reckon that the sufferings that we experience now, the hardship we experience now, the trials that we experience now are not worthy. You can't even put them in comparison to the glory which shall be revealed in us in that day. They're not even comparable. They shouldn't even be put in the same sphere of reference. They are not to be compared. They're not worthy to be compared. And tonight, we need to make up our minds whether or not it is worth serving God or not. But I've come to tell you that it will be worth it all. Amen? It will be worth it all. In fact, in every aspect of life that we have, we are constantly looking at cost and value. Is it worth the price that I'm paying? We ask that question when we go to the shop, when we're buying a car. We look at the car and we say, it's a nice car, but look at the price. Is it worth the price that I'm paying? When we look at clothes, we walk into the shops and we take it. I never seem to be amazed that ladies, they always have to touch the clothes. Men, we can just look at it and say, that looks good. But a lady will walk past and she will play with the material and she will look at it and touch it and all those things. But when you buy your clothes, ladies and men, you're looking at it, you're saying, is it worth the price? Is it worth the price? At a home, when we're buying a house or an apartment or something like that, or we're looking for a rental property, we look at what we're getting and we look at the price and we say, is it worth it? With an education, we have to weigh it up in our further educations. We say, we look at all the effort and all the money that we have to expend and we say, is it worth the price? Most teenagers, and listen to me, teenagers, most teenagers and children don't think their education is worth the homework or the study or the effort, unfortunately. It's true. You tell a child, you say, you know, you got to do your homework because one day you want to get a job, and they say it's not worth it. And we look at them, we say, well, with a few more years on you, I can tell you it is worth doing your homework. But, you know, mom and dad are trying to get them to sacrifice that little bit of spare time now so they won't have to have a second-rate job later on in their life. Mom and dad are trying to help their children understand. Say, if you would just invest a little bit of time now, it will be worth the effort. We're trying to teach our children, and this is correct, amen me, parents, if I'm right, that we can sacrifice something today for tomorrow. That's one of the biggest things we try to get in our children, that you got to sacrifice some things now if you want to have a better tomorrow. Sometimes we got to do things now that we don't necessarily want to do so we can get a better job, so we can have a good retirement, so down the road it will be worth it all. So we got to learn that sometimes you want a better tomorrow, you've got to sacrifice some things. You've got to sacrifice now for a better tomorrow. You ask any sports star, you ask any musician, you ask anybody who's been really successful in their sphere of influence or sphere of interest, they will tell you that you're going to have to make some sacrifices if you want a better tomorrow. We look at musicians and we say, you know, I wish I could play like the piano like Brother Michael. I wish I could play the drums like Brother Joel. And we look at them. But really, it takes a lot of work to get to that point. So for those of us that are not willing to put the time and the effort in, we just get to sit back and enjoy and just wish that we had had the time and spent the time sacrificing then so that we could have been a musician or a sports star. Or something like that. As a young man, I worked in a furniture restoration place with Brother Rob. We worked at a place called As a Party in Hancock. Now, that's a free advertisement for them. If they're listening, you can give your money to Calvary Chapel for sponsorship. But we worked at As a Party in Hancock. And worked there from 16 years old. And Brother Rob come to pick me up at, and I don't know, I think he was picking me up like before the sun came up, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., I think we were getting picked up at 5:30 for a 6 o'clock start, all because my mum told him to teach me the value of a hard day's work. And did I learn the value of a hard day's work? From 16 years age, it's probably criminal these days to do this, but I remember working a couple of 18-hour days. And I was working for $7 an hour, and someone told me that you meant to get penalty rates, but they said, no, you're just a casual. You get the same rate all day. So anyway, $7 an hour working for 18 hours a day. And I'm not boasting, but it took some sacrifice to get where I got today. Before I was married as a young man in my early 20s, I bought a house. But that was all because I had to sacrifice some things in those times. I had to work hard. And I'm not boasting because I wasn't smart enough. To tell you the truth, I probably would have done that. I probably would have gone and bought a really nice car with a big exhaust pipe, made lots of noise, and spent the rest of my money pouring petrol into that thing. But I had some wise parents who I listened to, had a wise dad and mom who pushed me and pulled me out of bed. My dad pushed me, my mom pulled me out of bed. They put some sandwiches in my bag and pushed me out the door to earn an honest day's pay. They saw that if I would just learn to sacrifice a little bit now, maybe the play and the fun of the school holidays, that one day I could save some money, get a house, and life would be a little bit easier having a house. When I was going through this, you know what? I didn't think it was worth it. I could only think just this is just really hard and really dirty. And all my friends are having fun and everyone else is out there doing all sorts of stuff and playing sport and all those sort of things. And I didn't understand it, but you know what we've got? We've got to have a vision that the future, we've got to have a vision that the future will compensate for today. The future will compensate for today. We can't lose sight of the goal. We can't lose sight of the future because the future will compensate for today. I went to university because I wanted a better future. I tell you, school wasn't easy for me. I was one of those kids who just had to got through everything, but only just. All my mates, they were smart. Go to school, my eyes hanging out of my head after studying all night. And I say to them, I say, are you ready for the exam? Oh, yeah, I'm ready. So I studied all night for the exam. They say, you what? They said, I just studied on the bus on the way to school. And I remember feeling so bad and so stupid. And then they'd get their marks and got good marks, and I'd always just get 50-something. 50-something. As I went on, I got a little bit easier for me, but it takes a lot of work. I was sacrificing then for the future. And we know all about it. We go through training. We go through denial. We go through sacrifice now for later. We're looking at the future. We know that the future will compensate for today. We've got to get a vision. We've got to get our eyes on the prize. As Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the mark. I press towards the prize. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 20. The young man saith unto him, speaking to Jesus, he says, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? What haven't I done? I've done all these things from a young man. Jesus said unto him, he said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had so many, or he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then shall be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but God all things are possible. So this is the rich young ruler. Now we have Peter. Then answered Peter, he asked a question, and he says unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? Or what are we going to get? We've forsaken all. We're following you, Jesus. What have you got for us? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold. Everyone say hundredfold. And shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So a long portion of scripture, I know, but we have two people, the rich young ruler and Peter. The rich young ruler says, what will it cost me to be saved? Jesus tells him what it costs him, and he turns on his heels and he walks away. Peter says, in contrast, he says, we've done all that, Jesus. What will I get given everything I've given up? What am I going to get? So one man wants to know what it's going to take to have eternal life. The rich young ruler, Jesus tells him, and the rich young ruler responds. He says, you know what, Jesus, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. He turned around and walked away. Simon Peter says, I think it's worth it, Jesus. We've forsaken everything, and what shall we have? It's an honest question by Simon Peter. Will it be worth the price that we've paid, Jesus? Will it be worth the price? We've forsaken all lands. We've forsaken everything. We're following Jesus. We're following you, Jesus. What will we get? Is it worth the price? And I want to encourage someone today who is asking themselves. I want to encourage someone who is asking, is it really worth it? Because, you know, you can get weary in well-doing. Galatians 6 verse 9 says you can get weary in well-doing. And maybe there's someone here today who said to themselves, you know, this Christian life, you know, it's been good to me, but is it really worth it? Is it really worth being separate from the world? Is it really worth the time? Is it really worth the effort? Is it really worth my treasure? Is it really worth my talent? Is it really worth my time? And maybe, just maybe, You've looked around at everybody else and you saw them living their carnal lives and you say, you know, they seem to be getting by. They seem to be getting by, but let me tell you, they're not getting by. Nobody in the heavenlies is being deceived. They may seem to be getting by, but this is not about the here and now. It's about the then. It's about when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. It's about being ready when Jesus Christ comes back. And I've come to lift my voice today and tell you all, it will be worth it all. I used to get discouraged seeing those kids just cruising through school, turning up, not even studying for exams and passing and getting credits and things like that, just enjoying themselves, always seem to be just mucking around at school. And let me tell you, not all of us are that smart to just think we can muck around. Don't muck around at school, kids. Do the best you can because you're only going to be there for a little time and you're building a future. Your whole life, unfortunately, in this world is going to stand on the platform that you built with your education. Maybe you get lucky and you'll get a bit of a lucky sort of chance to have a go at something. But most of the time, you got to work hard if you want to make it in life. Amen? So we ask ourselves, is it worth it? We do it when we purchase things. We do it when we're investing things. But what about our spiritual life? Maybe someone today is asking, is it worth it? Is godliness worth it? Is holiness worth it? Is spirituality worth it? And if you're measuring the worth based on what you're going through now, then you have taken your eyes off the goal. You cannot measure heaven based on what you're going through now. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul said it. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You cannot base your calculations on whether it's worth it or based on what you're going through now. You might be going through some trials. You might be going through some troubles in the family. You might be going through some financial situations. You might be going through temptation. You might be going through relationship issues. But all of those trials that we are experiencing now, they are not worthy to be compared with what's going to happen when we get up there. Because I've come to tell you, it will be worth it all. When we all get to heaven, it will be worth it. Just keep your eyes on the prize. Just keep walking. Just keep going. As it says, as we walk the pilgrim's pathway, clouds will overshadow us. But when weary days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. It will be worth it all. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some sufferings, but it will be worth it all. Young people, you think that serving God is too hard, but it will be worth it all to stay clean. It will be worth it all to stay pure. It will be worth it all to stay separate from the world. And maybe you think, you look at your parents and you say, you know, my parents are mean, but they're just trying to keep you on track because they know it will be worth it all if you can just get and just keep going and just keep living for God. It will be worth it all. You think your pastor's mean? Well, he's just watching for your soul because he knows that it will be worth it all if you can just make it. Keep your eyes on the prize. Find someone next to you and say, keep your eyes on the prize. Distractions along the road. There's going to be things as we're taking this race, as the Bible calls it. There's going to be distractions, but we've got to keep our eye on the prize. Keep our eye on the finish line. Have you ever thought this? While we ask the question, is it worth it all? Is it worth it to serve Jesus? Have you ever thought that Jesus thought that you were worth it? Jesus thought that you were worth dying for. I wonder if we think he's worth living for. He poured out his life. Is there anybody else willing to pour their life out? It will cost us, but it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. The world may be against you. The flesh may be against you. The devil may be against you. Your peers may be against you. Your family may be against you. Even your health may be against you. Whatever it is that may be against you, just keep pressing on, because it will be worth it all. It's going to be worth it, brothers and sisters. It's going to be worth living a godly life. It's going to be worth living a holy life. It's going to be worth being separate from the world. It's going to be worth it all. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Jesus finally has a following. Listen to what he says as he's finally got some people gathered around him. Jesus gets a following around him, and now he demands a high standard. He says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, if any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus wasn't saying you have to hate your mother, your sister, your wife, your children, your brethren. No, he wasn't saying that. But he was telling us that it's a matter of priorities. That our love for Jesus has to be so red hot and so on fire that it would seem, in comparison, that our love for our earthly family and friends would pale into insignificance. But Jesus, in the second verse, in verse 26, he says that we need to take up our cross. Sorry, verse 27 says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross. Now, I've preached this a little bit this year, but there's two crosses in Christianity. There's two crosses, and we're saved at the second cross. The first cross is the cross of Calvary, where Jesus died for us. He died for everybody, that whosoever believeth on him shall have eternal life. And we don't have a problem with the first cross. No problem at all. We don't have a problem that Jesus died for us on the cross of Calvary. We don't have a problem that he purchased our salvation. We don't have a problem that he provided a way for us to be forgiven and saved. But we do have a problem with the second cross. Because Jesus says, whosoever doth not bear his cross. So to be a Christian, to be a true Christian, we're going to have to take up our own cross. There's going to be a battle to build devotion. We're going to have to go through some denial. We're going to have to go through some self-discipline. But we've got to take up our cross. That's what's going to tell us whether or not we're going to be saved. Jesus says, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Some of us have to get to that second cross. We have no problem with the cross that Jesus died on. But what about the cross that we have to take up? But I've come to tell you, take up your cross. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Jesus said, we say, will it be worth everything that I have to do to get to heaven? Will it be worth everything that I have to do to get to heaven? But Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, he said, will it be worth it if you get the whole world? We say, will it be worth what I have to give away? And Jesus says, will it be worth it if you got the whole world? He says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Isn't it funny the way Jesus puts that phrase? We say, is it worth everything I have to lose in this life? Is it worth everything I have to lose? And Jesus just says, well, it still wouldn't be worth it even if you got it all. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So why are we asking, is living for Jesus worth it? Jesus is asking, is gaining the whole world worth it if you're going to lose your own soul? Paul said, it will be worth it all. Find someone near you and say, it will be worth it all. Philippians chapter 3. Can we pop it on the screen if you can? Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Let me hear those pages. Either people don't have Bibles these days or I'm going deaf. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says, "Brethren, I count myself, not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize." Everyone say the prize. Got to keep your eyes on the prize. Got to keep pressing towards the prize. Keep pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've got to keep pressing. It will be worth it. It's going to be worth it to be sold out. It will be worth it to keep away from wickedness. It will be worth it, all the sacrifice. It will be worth it to be kingdom conscious. It will be worth it to serve Jesus in everything that we do. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it to serve Jesus on His terms and not ours. It will be worth it all. 2 Corinthians 4, let's go back there. It was one of our texts. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." Just a moment. This lifetime is nothing more than just a moment. It's not even a blimp on the radar of eternity. "But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I'm sorry it's so simple. I'm sorry I'm not a theologian. I've just come to tell you tonight that it will be worth it all. Every sacrifice, every prayer, every time you come to the house of God, it will be worth it all. Just keep going. Just keep praying. Just keep serving Jesus. It's going to be worth it all, brothers and sisters. Keep living a separate life from the world. Just keep swimming against the tide of this world. Just keep standing up for righteousness, because it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Abraham, he lived 3,500 years ago. He longed to go to heaven when he died. He's called the father of the faithful. The Bible says that he left Ur of the Chaldees. He left his family. He left all the things that he was familiar with. And he was told to go to another land. To a foreign land. A strange land. He left the comfortable. He left his kindred. And he went to a strange land. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11. It says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Tonight, we're looking for that city. We're looking for that city. We've got our eyes lifted. We're looking to the clouds when Jesus is going to return. Don't have your head down, but lift up your head. Keep your head up. We're looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. He left everything he knew. He stepped out in faith, left it all to go to a land that God would tell him of. Where? Who knows? Abraham just walked. But he was longing for a city whose builder and maker is God. And Abraham caught a glimpse of that city. He said, "It's worth it. It's worth leaving home. It's worth leaving my family. It's worth being a stranger and a pilgrim. It's worth the hardship and pain. It's surely, heaven is worth it all." Let's worship the Lord. It's worth it all. Let's worship Him tonight. It's going to be worth it all, brothers and sisters. Whatever you're going through, it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. Revelation 21 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." It's going to be worth it all. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, no eye hath seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." It's going to be worth it all. Let's all stand in this place. Just worship Him. Jesus, I'm going to serve You. through the good times and the bad times, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to look to you, Jesus, through the trial. I'm going to praise you through the storm. It's going to be worth it all. Oh, Jesus, come on, let's just lift our voices and praise him. What song is it? Hallelujah, hallelujah, it'd be worth it all. It'll be worth the sacrifice. It'll be worth the prayers. It'll be worth the dedication. It'll be worth the devotion. It'll be worth everything that you have to give up, because it will be worth it all. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, take up your